we are beginning the study of schiras. Schiras, renting, leasing in Chashuv Mishpat, encompasses three closely interconnected subsections. There is schiras of real property, real estate, houses, which is the first siman we're doing, schiras batim, also schiras of fields, that kind of four sections if you count those as two, but real property in general, houses and fields is one, schiras metaltalin, schiras of personal property, of movable property is two, and schiras paalim, hiring of workers, is three. As I said, these are all closely interconnected, and this whole unit of Shulchan Aruch, it's a pretty large and very relevant lemaisa, very complex and very interesting section. All three of these things share a kind of conceptual unity, even though the specific halachas discussed in each of these sections, the focus is a little different, they all share a kind of conceptual unity, and they're all different in certain important ways from many other areas of Chashuv Mishpat that we've studied before. First, as I like to point out, there is virtually nothing in these simanim that is in any way related to a pasuk in the Torah, an actual din daraisa, except insofar as far as daraisa, but there's almost nothing that's related to a specific pasuk in the Torah. When you learn Ezekiel, for example, there are psukim, there's shar, there's keren, there's shein v'regel, there's bar, there's kelim and bar, there's eish. When you learn Hilcha Shomrim, the laws of Baileys, of Pikadon, so there's entire parshas and mishpatim, shar, chamar, shar and kelim and onus and Kinev and Aveda and Meismachas Machas Asfara, but Shmir of Vailim. Everything is based on dozens of psukim in parshas mishpatim. Helchus Dayanim, much of Dayanim is based on Psukim, Losi Kach Shochad, Drashus, Elohim, you need Smuchim, you need three, Acharam Lahatos, some of the things are Svaras, but it's all very directly related to a specific Dine Torah. In the entire Helchus Chiras, there's virtually nothing that's traceable to any Pasuk, any specific Parsha in the Torah. What we're studying here essentially are the laws of contracts. Now, in Gemara, in Halacha, when you say contract, you often think of a shtar kinyan or a shtaraya, hilchos shtaras. That's a different kind of contract. The shtar kinyan is fairly simple in that sense. Property is transferred. We have no relationship before the shtar. We have no relationship after the shtar. We do a one-off, one-time trade, and then we go our separate ways. I'm using contract here in the sense of we create an ongoing relationship, an ongoing pair, typically, of obligations. The fundamental idea in halacha of schiras is one party provides the use of a resource, whether it's property, personal property, real property, whether it's his services. One party provides for some period of either specified or unspecified duration a resource, and the other party agrees to pay for it, agrees to pay at some rate for the resource. I'm using these very kind of abstract terms because you find in Hilchos Poel, and we often refer to the two parties as Poel and Balabayas. When we discuss Chiras, we refer to the Socher and the Masker. And conceptually, the Masker, the person renting out his house, is really analogous to the Poel. The Poel provides the resource of his service. The Masker provides the resource of his home. The tenant pays the landlord for it, and the employer pays the employee. Now, socioeconomically, status, we often think of the tenants as being kind of lower on the totem pole, and the landlords are higher in society, and we often think of the employer as higher than the employees, just in terms of social status. But from a legalistic, halachic perspective, frequently, and this comes up all the time in the poskim, the people sometimes have a hard time wrapping their heads around it. It doesn't come so intuitively necessarily, but if you think about it, it's pretty clear that the masker is analogous to the poel, and the socher is analogous to the balabais. Now, as I said, we're not really dealing with dine daraisa in the sense of psukim or gzeres akasus. There is one section of baltolin, which we began this chabura a year and a half ago. We began with baltolin all the way at the end of Hilchos Poel, and that is a lav daraisa, paying on time. That actually does apply to quite many poskim, at least that applies to real estate too, and certainly schiras metaltalin. That's kind of the one exception. All the other simanim we'll be doing, what they are not clear. They're not dine daraisa in the sense of psukim. There might be svaras some of them, there might be takanas of chazal, very often unclear what it is we're dealing with. The bottom line, it seems to be a sense of basically equity, chazal's establishment of what's fair, what makes sense, what's svara, what's logical, but you're not going to be rooting most of these things in any clear din daraisa or gzeres akasuv. This is all basically about what Chazal established, what the Gemara tells us, whether it's a Svara, whether it's a Tekanas Chazal, what Chazal tell us as being fair and logical and making sense, and what the respective rights of the two parties are. Now, we mentioned the paradigm here is one party provides a service, a resource, and the other party pays for it. And the truth is, as we'll see in various places in this siman, and as we go further, hopefully, there is a kind of conceptual confusion or conceptual complexity or contradictions, whatever the best word is, for how exactly in Lamdus to conceive of schiras. In some contexts, Post can use language that implies that the person purchasing the resource, the tenant, the employer, is actually buying a sort of temporary kinyan in the resource, in the house, in the poel himself. There is a shitas risharim that poel is gufa kani. It's almost like avdus. It's like temporary slavery. You're buying, you're renting, so to speak, the worker, and you own him for the duration. And certainly in schiras of property, our siman, we're going to find this expression frequently, that the Rambam compares schiras to a sale, and he compares borrowing something to, he compares borrowing something to a matana. A matana is I give you a gift permanently, and a she'ela, borrowing, is I give it to you temporarily. A mecher, a sale, is where I sell you something permanently, and schiras is where I sell it to you for a limited duration. So in that sense, we're looking at schiras as basically a sale, just a sale of limited duration. So it's not really in the sense of an ongoing obligation, as I described it earlier, and from this perspective, it's basically just a sale of limited duration with an automatic reversion back to the initial owner at the end. On the other hand, there are frequently poskim, a frequent expression we see is that it's a shibud, that the worker, for example, agrees to provide his work, to provide a service, and even in, we're going to see in our siman, in Hilchos Chiras, we're going to find language poskim often use that the landlord agrees to provide, it's a personal obligation, I will provide you with a house, with this house, with a house even. We'll see there are different kinds of schiras. There's something called schiras stam, where I don't even specify what I'm providing you. I stipulate I will provide you with a dwelling, a residence for 6 months. The more common kind of schiras is when the schiras is limited to a specific house, that I will provide you with a house. But as we'll see, in certain cases, there are obligations on the landlord to fix the house, or there are obligations to rebuild it, or to do other things. So the post can infer from that, it's not simply a question of a sale, where the person who sold it to you has no obligation to you, either get your money back if there was a defect or not, but sometimes we're going to see the landlord has obligations to help him, to make sure he gets what he was promised. So I will see the post can do sometimes translate that as a personal shibud, a shibud aguf, that the landlord has to provide something to the tenants, and you get an impression very often that it's a hybrid. It's both some kind of kinyan in the specific property being provided, as well as a shibud, a personal obligation on the part of the landlord to provide something to the person paying for it. And both these are true, and in certain contexts, we're going to be focusing on one or the other. So the last few minutes tonight, I want to discuss something that arises in the very first siman, the very first sif of Siman Shin Yud Beis. We're discussing a rented or leased property. The question is, what right does the seller retain to either, does the landlord retain to either sell the property to someone else while it's under lease, or to enter into a new lease that will take effect upon the termination of the original lease? Now this presupposes, as we'll see this sif and the rest of the siman, this presupposes, in general, a lease is a strongly binding contract. Certainly if there is a fixed duration, both parties are locked into it. Neither party can renege on the contract and walk away during the lease. The landlord can't say, I need the house, my other house, my house burned down, I need your house. In general, that does not work. The tenant can say, it's like a kinyan, I have your house, the house is mine for the duration. I don't care what your problems are, what your personal situation is. It's my house for the term of the lease, and tough on you. That's, and vice versa too. The tenant can't walk away and say, I found a different house, I'm moving, I got a different job, this and that. Tenants can have all kinds of reasons, good reasons, no matter what they are. The tenant generally will not be able to walk away in the middle of a lease, and he will be responsible to pay the lease for its duration. As we'll see, not so simple. There are exceptions to these rules. There are shitas and exceptions to these rules, but in general, the lease is binding on both parties. Neither party can leave, certainly not without a very good reason. So the question is, a landlord who wants to sell his property, he gets a buyer for it, he wants to move out of the country, go to Eretz Yisrael, so he can't just say, okay, I'm terminating the lease because I want to sell it. Again, all this is if nothing was stipulated to the contrary in the initial lease. But in the basic halacha, the landlord is bound by the lease as much as the tenant is. The landlord cannot evict the tenant, and the landlord can't. So the landlord can't terminate the lease. Can he simply sell the property and say, okay, your lease goes for another year. Now you'll be dealing with a new landlord. I'm walking away. The short answer seems to be yes. The very first sif in Siman Shin Yud Beis, the primary focus is on the no eviction rule that I was just discussing, that you can't evict the tenant. But in the course of that discussion, the Shulchan Aruch bringing a rush, the Shulchan Aruch says, even if the landlord has to sell the property, he needs money, tzarech l'makor la'acher, eino yachal hotziyo v'mechach kayim, he can't evict the tenant, but the sale is valid, and the lekach has to, the buyer has to allow the tenant to remain. But it's pretty clear that the sale itself is valid, just that the buyer is restricted the same way the seller was, that he can't evict the tenant. And that's pretty much what most, or if not all, poskim say. What there is some debate about is the question of, can the landlord enter into a binding lease of the property to take effect after the first lease is over? Can he say, your lease goes, my old tenant's lease goes for another 6 months, but he doesn't want to start looking for a tenant later. He doesn't want to have a gap where he's not getting money from the property. He wants to, which is what landlords commonly do. He wants us to show the property and put a new tenant in to come in at the end of the lease. Is he able to enter into such a lease arrangement? Here, many, perhaps most poskim also say yes, but there is an important shita, the shita of the Marash Dam, and supported by the Erech Shai. They've been two of the leading poskim and Choshen Mishpat, the Marash Dam, a leading Sephardic posik from the 16th century, the Erech Shai, a leading Ashkenazic posik from the 19th. Both are of the opinion that sales, that you cannot necessarily enter into a binding lease arrangement to take effect when the first lease is over. Why not? And what do they say about sales? So as we said, sales virtually everyone agrees work, and the Erech Shai certainly agrees that a sale would work. A lease does not work. And the way the Erech Shai explains it in Lamdas conceptually is that if I want to sell, what's a lease? A lease essentially is I'm renting out the peros. I'm selling the peros. I'm selling the use of the property for 6 months from now. But those peros are currently not in my rishus. Those peros are currently in someone else's rishus. That's a darvish lo bala olam. One of the fundamental rules in kinyanim is you cannot sell something that you don't currently own, even if you're trying to sell it, that it should take effect when I will own it, when I will come into possession of it in the future. If I don't own it now, I can't enter into a binding contract on it. So the Erech Shai explains, you cannot enter into a sale of the peros in the future since the peros now are not on your rishus. Now a sale you can do, he says, because even while the property is leased out, I still own the goof of the property. The property still belongs to me. I still own the title. So that title I own right now, I can transfer now. But if I'm only trying to sell the peros, not the title itself, and the peros themselves are not mine, that I can't do. So he says even the Marash Dam would agree that you can sell. Not so clear whether the Marash Dam would agree that you can sell or not. There is considerable debate about this point, but at least the Erech Shai's understanding of this shita is you can enter into a sale of the property, but you cannot enter into a lease and not enter into a binding lease. Many, perhaps most other Achronim say that you can. The Erech Shai is a notable holdout, along with the Marash Dam, who he's defending. Now, Agav, one other point, returning to sale for a moment. If, as we said, all or virtually all poskim say that the landlord can sell the property during the lease, who does the tenant pay rent to? If 6 months into the lease, he's paying monthly rent checks, 6 months into the lease, the title is transferred to somebody else, sale or gift. Who does the tenant pay rent to? So I think intuitively, most people would say you pay rent to the new owner. And that is indeed what the SMA says. Sma says in Sifkat and Gimel, Sifkat and Beis, we call on Kamtarach Hasachar Litin La Lokech Haschirus, Velola Maskir, that the buyer, that the tenants will now start paying rent to the buyer, not to the landlord. However, the Maral Diskin, not clear where the Sma got this from, but the Maral Diskin says, I don't know why the Sma thinks it's so passion. And the Maral Diskin Svara is, he says, I have a contract, basically, I think he means to say, I have a contract with you. I agree to pay you some sum of money. I don't have any contract with the buyer. As we said earlier, the yesod of all of schiros is a contractual arrangement. Two parties agree, you provide this, I pay you that. So I never agreed to pay the landlord. I never agreed to pay the landlord anything. I never agreed to pay the buyer anything. My contract is with you. Now, if the new owner complains he's not getting rent, he'll go to you and collect the rent. But why should I deal with him? Why my contract is to you, not to him, and who said that obligation is transferable? Sma apparently understood that that's chus that the original owner had to collect rent payments from the tenant is transferable, just like in halacha, debt is generally transferable. If I owe you money, then you who hold the note, you have the right to transfer, to sell, to give that note to somebody else, and that person then becomes like, you know, the whole mortgage thing with the financial crisis. You sell mortgages up and down the line from bank to bank. Halacha generally does allow that. There are all kinds of complex technical rules for how that's done and what forms have to be adhered to, but in principle it is possible to transfer debt, and it was commonly done. So the Sma apparently understood that the obligation of the part of the tenant, the schus of the landlord to collect rent, is transferred along with, by default or automatically or inherently, is transferred to the new owner of the property, while Merrill Diskin feels that is a non-trivial assumption, not obvious that it has to be that way. But in any event, the question of whether you can enter into a lease that will be binding after the first lease is a major machlokes poskim. Many, perhaps most poskim, say yes. Some say that you cannot. Even the opinion that says you can, there are actually two different, in Svara and Lamdus, there are two different rationales for why you can do it. You know, what happens to the problem of Dvar Shelo Bo La'olam? One school of thought says, Mechusar Zman, Lav K'Mechusar Masa Dami, very complicated sugya, but all kinds of riots all over Shas. But one shita says, anything that happens automatically, nothing has to change, nothing has to happen, it's just a question of the hands of a clock moving around, that's called Mechusar Zman, and that does not suffer the problem of Dvar Shelo Bo La'olam. Anyway, if something will become yours automatically, with nothing has to occur but the passage of time, that does not suffer from the problem of Dvar Shelo Bo La'olam. Other posts can disagree, that's a controversial principle. The other reason they say it works, similar to what Erech Shai is saying, is that just like when I sell the property, the Erech Shai understands that I'm not selling it for later. I'm not selling something that I don't have till tomorrow. I own the title today, and I'm selling you the title today. But some poskim say even rental really works like that. How does rental work? Rental is basically a schus in the property. It's a shibud in the property or a kinyan in the property to use it. So the Beis Shlomo and other achronim say that's what I'm doing when I'm selling you when I'm leasing you the property to take effect tomorrow. I'm selling you a schus in the property. You can have a schus in the property to use it today. You can have a schus in the property to use it tomorrow. But all those chuyos inhere in the property itself. And I'm not selling you tomorrow's peros, tomorrow's fruit or crop in the abstract, tomorrow's use in the abstract. I'm selling you a schus in the property right now, and that schus is considered present right now. That's why it's not called Eba Mamesh, and that's why it's not called Dvar Shelo Bo La'olam.